Here's a bit of news from 1980 and songwriter slash reporter Joe Jackson looking sharp.
It's so good to be back here in England where you have a sophisticated standard of journalism, you know, with papers like the New Musical Express. And of course, the Sunday papers.
Mother doesn't go out anymore. Just sits at home and rolls her spastic eyes.
Joe Jackson's band, just like the even angrier-sounding Clash in the early 80s, made their songs about the news of the day. Unusual for pop bands, but then Joe Jackson has always been unusual.
I once had a beer with Joe's drummer, and he told me that when him and Mick Jones were writing those songs for the Clash, a lot of the time they were taking the piss, as we say in England, you know, making fun. And when the rock critics would analyze them and take them very seriously as political and social commentary, they would be cracking up laughing. And I completely related to that.
Jackson loves to shrug off serious inquiries about his songs, but no one doubts he's a serious musician and a lyricist who excels exploring the territory of band leaders like Duke Ellington, poets like Walt Whitman, traveling America and commenting on all its good and bad. Jackson's first original song album in 7 years displays his love of songs, his eye-rolling annoyance at pop formulas, but delivers his sharp eye for detail and storytelling that have made Joe Jackson a musical legend for more than 30 years.
There's three classic themes of pop songwriting. One is, I'm so happy because I'm in love.
I am love and you.
And number two is, I'm devastated because my baby left me. And the third one is, oh, to hell with it, let's just dance and have a good time.
We can dance, we can dance,
that's it, boo.
There's nothing wrong with any of those themes,
no.
You know, but I try to think of something else. That's all.
I mean, when you do go into some of those themes, you find a different way of talking about it. Let's take, for instance, something breaking us in two.
Don't you feel like trying something new? Don't you feel like breaking out or breaking us in two?
That's not a breakup song. It's about, I don't know, it's sort of about the complexities of a relationship.
Yeah, yeah, like no matter how close you get to someone, there's always something that holds you apart. I think I'm sort of attracted to slightly ambiguous themes, you know, or bittersweet. A lot of my songs are bittersweet, I think. And it's interesting because some people hear them as sad and other people hear them as happy. And to me, they're both.
Hometown. Is that about a particular town?
Yeah, it's about my hometown, which is Portsmouth on the south coast of England. But that was a kind of deliberate exercise in nostalgia. I thought, can I write a nostalgic song? You know, I always think of it as sort of like a recreational drug. It's all right to indulge in a little bit, but, you know, you've got to be careful.
I mean, I searched and searched your work. There is no evidence at all that you have any nostalgia for Portsmouth.
No. Yeah, it's a pretty horrible place, really. I mean, but at the same time, only your hometown is your hometown.
Right.
You know, and I still go back quite a lot, and I still have some friends there and family and so on.
I associate your early work with an emotional portrait of Thatcher's England.
Oh, my God, really?
Not like the Clash, who were very, you know, sort of out there and political. It seemed to me that you really captured a sense of, I don't know, heartbreak that came in Thatcher's England.
I think you give me too much credit, actually. I mean, thanks, but
I give a lot of people too much credit.
I mean, so much of what I wrote back then was very tongue-in-cheek and humorous, but it was seen as being angry, I think, because that was the zeitgeist of the time, and people saw what they were looking for.
This album is a passionate reemergence for you. It's set in different places, attempting to capture and portray four different cities and styles of music.
If it wasn't for you, my friend, why should everything be such a fuss? We were brought up in a boring town. So you say, and I agree, you're a prize, but not for me.
The idea of recording in different cities came quite late in the day because I had a sort of unmanageable pile of songs that was accumulating. And I was looking for some kind of way to organize them. And the idea surfaced in a conversation I was having with my manager, actually, that maybe I didn't have to do an album. You know, maybe I could do an EP or just do three or four songs and then move on and do another three or four. And I thought that was quite an interesting idea. And I started thinking about places that I might like to work and musicians that I might like to work with. The musicians are actually more important than the places. I mean, they're all cities that I know very well, you know, but the main thing that took me to those places was the musicians.
What are the places?
New York, New Orleans, Berlin, and Amsterdam.
How do you see an arrangement? Because I think of you as such an arranger. Part of the composing process is the arranging process. How do you see the landscape of the instrumentation and the things that you'll do, particularly when you decide to change it up?
Sometimes when you decide not to do certain things, it makes you use your imagination more. I mean, for a long time, I toured with just a trio, just me and bass and drums. And it's so interesting because when you're limited, it forces you to use your imagination more. And it just seems to get bigger and bigger. You know, the more I worked with the trio, the freer it seemed, the more possibilities there were.
And you were on keyboards?
Yeah.
And does it make your piano playing better? Because you have to use it to do everything.
I think I've gotten generally better, actually. In recent years, I think my piano playing has improved quite a lot.
Well, is there something limiting about the genre right now?
Of what?
Of popular song, of albums. I mean, I associate your work with you really loved the kind of novelistic quality of an album, of an LP.
Yeah.
And now that's kind of disrupted with all the downloading and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it sort of is and it isn't. It's very confusing, really, because people keep talking about how the album is dead, and yet people keep making albums. And I think that the concept of an album, regardless of what it is physically or whether it is a physical object or not, I think that the concept of an album is still there, you know, as far as it being an artist's like a kind of statement of where they're at that point in time, and something bigger than just a song. I think somehow the idea of an album still exists.
Thanks a lot, Joe.
Thank you.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.